Now, The Devil in the Red Dress. This is the remarkable story of Sharon Collins, of course, no stranger to anybody here in Ennis, from Ennis herself originally, but of the Kildicet Road, then that address that became much more famous and well known in the court. Sharon Collins, the woman who attempted to hire a hitman to kill her partner, PJ Howard, and his two sons. This book, we're told, The Devil in the Red Dress, is filled with intrigue, betrayal, sex, money, and would-be murder. It has the ingredients for a best-selling thriller. Well, we were told that Sharon Collins herself and her story was the stuff of a thriller, a cheap thriller at the time, but it's the stuff of a couple of books now. But Abigail Riley is the author of The Devil in the Red Dress. We've spoken before, Abigail, because she's covered some of this trial for us in the courts in Dublin. But welcome to the programme. Good to meet you.
Thank you, John.
In person, and for our listeners to meet you in person. Abigail, tell us a little bit about this book, because first of all, I don't want to dwell on the fact too much that there's more than one book about this trial. I think there was bound to be with this kind of case.
Well,
because
exactly.
It's happened in other cases before, though there are few trials really that have caught or captured the imagination of people so much as this one.
It was certainly, I think it's probably one of the most extraordinary trials to go through the Irish courts, certainly in recent years and possibly ever. This book, because it's just out, I waited until after the sentence hearing, which was at the beginning of November. This book is sort of the first book with the whole story, really. I've also got a lot of stuff from, there was an American court case which ran parallel with the Dublin trial. Teresa Engel, who was the wife or girlfriend of Essam Eade, who of course was
the so-called
hitman for hire, and it came out during the trial in Dublin that there had actually been another scam by Eade and Engel in California only a couple of weeks before they came over to Ennis, and the events that have become so familiar actually unfolded. And Teresa Engel is actually currently serving 8 months in the American jail system for her part in that California scam.
Okay.
And so
she, of course, just to remind the listeners, she was the wife of Essam Eade, who gave evidence against him in court in the Sharon Collins trial, isn't that right?
Yeah, she was arguably sort of the chief prosecution witness. And what's extraordinary is that her trial in the States, there's an awful lot of documentation that I was able to get, which gives a completely different insight into what actually happened in California, and
okay.
also the relationship between her and Eade.
Okay. Briefly, what happened in the Californian case?
Basically, exactly what happened in Ennis. They were a woman called Marissa Marks contacted the Hitman for Hire website and asked for someone to basically dispose of her ex-boyfriend's new girlfriend. And so the unfortunate girl ended up with a visit from Eden Engel, who had arrived on the pretext of buying a mortgage from her. And she was sitting at the table and with all her documents for the mortgage handed them over to him. Eade looked at them, handed them back to her, and had his own dossier. And exactly as we heard in the trial in Dublin with Robert Howard, was given a load of addresses and photographs when Eade turned up demanding €100,000. Exactly the same thing happened there. And he basically said, somebody's out to kill you, but if you give me X amount of money, I can make it go away.
It suggests the hitman for hire was a thriving business.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there were several people who contacted it. We've got, well, Sharon Collins, of course. There was Marissa Mark. They both went looking for the services of the hitman. And then there was also a couple of people applying for jobs. And, of course, we heard about Private Brian Buckley, who thought he was getting game sheets and ended up having these bizarre 3 a.m. phone calls with Essam Eade, basically, saying sort of, I have a hit in the west of Ireland, can you sort it out for me? But there was also another guy who called himself John Smith, who was a much darker character, and he was the one who suggested a load of poisons to Eid and seemed very, very eager to get involved in the plot.
Okay.
And for the first time, I actually have the emails from him to the website as well in the book.
Okay. While I suppose the story of Sharon Collins, so as reflected, be it in books or the papers, has been very, obviously I suppose the interest has been in this this petite, blonde, successful, reasonably successful woman up until now, and what maybe possessed her to carry out or to try to carry out this kind of plan. What you're suggesting, I suppose, Abigail, is that it reveals a more of a seedy underworld that exists throughout the world that maybe we didn't know about before.
Well, yes. I mean, this is the thing, is there's something... When Sharon Collins actually started looking for various websites, she went... I mean, there was also proxymarriages.com. So, you know, you can... There are websites out there. Proxymarriages.com doesn't exist anymore, but there are other websites where you can get these proxy marriage certificates, and the idea of an internet hitman is certainly not new. 2 years before the events that happened in 2006 here in Ennis, there was actually another very, very similar scam in, I think it was in Vietnam or Korea, where a student decided to set up a hitman website to earn a bit of extra cash to pay off some debts.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, exactly.
What we, I suppose, know about Sharon Collins is that she's an intelligent woman if she managed to find all of these things and to carry out this plan, well, as far as she did. What I'm reading from your book is that you're giving us an insight into the people that she found herself entangled with. Does it suggest almost that she was, there was a little bit of innocence about her in that, or naivety as well? Or what did you make of her? Because you sat and watched her in the four courts as well throughout the trial.
Yeah, I think that it's entirely possible that if she had been successful in the plot, and if something had actually happened, although there's no indication that there was any intention to kill. Of course, Eid wasn't actually found guilty of conspiracy to murder, so, you know, that's all up in the air. But you do get the impression that she was so detached from the whole thing that if PJ Howard and his two sons had ended up dead, she would have been as surprised as anyone. Because it's very easy, I think, to, once you start looking for things like this, and once you get into that side of the internet, it's very easy to just sort of wander in, and sort of before you know it, you're talking to, well, as it happened, talking to con artists in Las Vegas.
Okay. The last chapters of your book deals with the very recent sentencing of Sharon Collins. She got 6 years, of course, for hiring a hitman and conspiracy to murder P.J. Robert and Niall Howard. And particularly it deals with what P.J. Howard had to say. And I suppose it helps you come up with your conclusion at the end that, one of the main characters, the intended target of this plot to kill, actually still thinks of Sharon Collins. It is fascinating stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, PJ in particular, has always, always, always stood by Sharon, and he doesn't for a moment think that she is guilty of any of the things that she's been convicted of. And he said publicly that he will be waiting for her, he will be standing by her, and he will be working to clear her name.
Okay. His victim impact statement was the big one, obviously, on that last day. As I think a lot of the papers said, in a trial that had gripped the nation and never failed to surprise, it did it right up until the end. And
oh, yeah.
Some people feel it will again, because this is one we're going to see back in court.
Yes, I mean, we've heard in the last couple of days, really, that she is intending to lodge an appeal. But yes, PJ's victim impact statement, if you could actually call it that, it was more of a... glowing character reference for Sharon, for the woman who had just been convicted of trying to kill him. And he was saying things like, you know, she used to dispense my heart medication and I would have absolutely no fears with her doing that again.
Okay.
And that, yeah, that he wanted to live with her again, or would live with her again. As someone, Abigail, who covers these kind of trials, well, maybe not these kind of trials, but lots of murder trials or very serious crimes that come before the four courts, had you ever seen anything like that before?
Absolutely not. I mean, apart from anything else, conspiracy to murder trials don't come up very often. But this trial, it really did have everything. I mean, you know, when the jury was being sworn in, the prosecution barrister, Tom O'Connell, stood up and said to the judge that it might be an idea to give people just a flavour of what we could expect. And I think by the end of that sort of 15-minute summation of the facts that we were about to hear over the next month or so, I don't think there was a single person in that room that wasn't going to be hooked. It's not very often that you get Las Vegas poker dealers facing a trial in the Central Criminal Court.
I was going to say, in Ennis, that you don't get them very often in Ennis either,
yeah.
but that's what happened. It's the first book for you, Abigail?
Yep.
How was it to write?
It was interesting. I mean, it's always, with this kind of true crime book, it's always a very intensive process, because there is a necessity to get it out there as soon as possible. And so it's been a bit of a whirlwind over the last couple of months, but it's nice to see it out on the shelves finally.
Okay, and lots of people saying with so many books or so much written about Sharon Collins, it's only a matter of time before we see Lying Eyes the movie. What do you think?
Oh, definitely. There is, well, I think we've all read the reports that she herself has had various contact from producers in Hollywood looking for the rights to her story, and I think we're just going to have to watch this space.
Okay, I think it's definitely one, yeah, as you said, we'll be hearing more about Sharon Collins again. Abigail, thank you for joining us. Abigail Riley, the author of The Devil in the Red Dress, the story of Sharon Collins, who tried to hire a hitman to kill her partner and his two sons. Of course, no stranger to any of us at this stage of the story, very familiar also, but this book says it's time to find out why. The Devil in the Red Dress is the book.